Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast. Welcome everybody to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Dan, and with me as always is the Silent Bobs to my Jay.
It just feels right.
The hockey jerseys to my jorts.
Whoa.
It feels even better.
Snort.
Hi.
Silent John.
Hello.
And Frank couldn't be here today. So we just finished smoking a little afternoon marijuana.
Yep.
Yeah.
And tonight, we are reaching the conclusion of our Summer of Smith Comic Kevin programming.
How does everyone feel about this today?
This is such a bummer, but at the same time, it's such an exciting moment. This is what we've been building to, guys. We have finally reached this Clerks 3 stop, and I'm just through the roof excited. I'm Dan. I imagine you're the same.
Oh, I am so fucking ready for this to happen. Not because I want it to end, but because I feel like we've put in so much good work, and my appreciation for Kevin has grown even more fond over this summer. So I'm so excited to be watching this tonight.
Me too. But can I tell you guys something real quick?
Please. Please do.
I did something today.
Wait, what?
Huh?
So I feel like I needed to really explore Kevin Smith's work. So I took it by myself today, and I watched Yoga Hosers.
What?
You did that to yourself, huh?
I have spent so much time trying to erase it from my memory, and you voluntarily, in illness nonetheless.
Well, I just felt like I've seen all of his good stuff, you know, might as well see his worst movie. I feel like it's only fair. So, hey, and it'll probably make me think that tonight's movie is even better. I mean, I think it's going to be great, but even better than that now. Now I'm comparing it to watching Yoga Hosers in the same day.
Well, I think the people want to know, can we get a quick snort review?
Oh, yeah.
What were your quick thoughts on Yoga Hosers?
Okay, hold on. I got to get a note real quick.
Did you take notes?
I took a quote.
Oh, shit. You came prepared.
Okay, the biggest takeaway from this. Okay. Hold on, let me start over.
Yeah, you really need to gather your thoughts on this one.
My biggest takeaways from watching Yoga Hosers today. One, I really liked Lily Rose Depp and Harley Quinn Smith in it. I thought they were awesome. The movie, not so great. The first 30 minutes, it would be fun. Once you bring in the Bratzies, terrible. Okay, my other thing was, I think in my teenage years, if I was in Canada, I might have been a yoga hoser. And then, guys, the biggest takeaway from this movie, Harry Styles is mentioned multiple times in this movie because they talk about one time in this magazine on the page that celebrities are just like us, one time they showed Harry Styles buying bacon.
So the mere mention of Harry Styles in a movie automatically gets at least a smile response out of you.
Okay, so I was definitely I was watching it, but I was doing some stuff while I was laying there watching it, and I heard Harry Styles' name and whoop, peeked up real quick.
You instantly dropped everything that you were doing just for the Styles reference.
Yeah, so that was a fun surprise. So yeah, that was Snort's take on Yoga Hosers.
Well, there you have it, Dan. If that alone doesn't show you how much the Summer of Smith comic Kevin has rubbed off on everybody in this room, then I don't know what will.
I don't know. I think Yoga Hosers, to me, it kind of feels like a blur anyways, as is. But I think a lot of that stems from my sheer just mind being eviscerated by the fact that Johnny Depp was in this movie.
Yeah, and he was great. He was just crazy Johnny Depp.
It took me a lot longer to realize that was Johnny Depp than it should have.
Hmm. I hate to say it, but you guys have gotten me intrigued. I feel like I'm the only one who hasn't seen it, so that's got to change.
It's like watching a train wreck movie like The Room or something like that. That's almost a train wreck movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a little too good to be a train wreck movie, but like not a good movie.
It just makes it kind of like forgettable?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I'll still sit through it.
I wish it just would have been like a Canadian version with the two girls like working at the, what was it? A and Z shop?
A to Z?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a female version of Clerks.
Yeah, that would have been really good.
You didn't have to put all that tuskiness into it.
Anyways.
No, he was actually, at the time, he was working on a trilogy of movies. That was the second one. Oh. Because it was going to be Tusk. It was going to be Yoga Hosers. And then the third movie was going to be something called, I want to say like Moose Knuckle or something like that.
Of course it is.
Which is essentially a Jaws type movie about a moose.
Huh.
Like, it's just this giant moose that's fucking shit up, but, you know, it could have been like a little horror movie. Which, with Red State, he does have the chops to do something like that. So that I'm actually disappointed that that one never came out. Moose Jaw, Moose Knuckle, whatever it was, moosed.
Yeah, the premise of that already gets me. Like, that sounds like something I want to see. And I trust Kevin Smith. I mean, I still haven't seen Tusk or Yoga Hosers. I didn't realize that that was, like, a part of, like, something. Like, I didn't realize that's, like, tied together. Is it, like, directly tied or just, like, references kind of like this universe?
Just loosely tied. It was going to be his Canadian trilogy.
Ah, gotcha. Okay,
kind of like at the same time Edgar Wright was doing his Cornetto trilogy.
Gotcha. Okay.
So Kevin Smith was kind of playing on that with his Canadian trilogy.
Well, shoot. Maybe at some point in time we'll get there, too. We got Clerks 3 tonight. Who's to say we won't get Moose Knuckle in, like, 3 years?
I'm always down for some Moose Knuckle.
Oh, hey-o.
But that's 3 years from now. Tonight, we are wrapping our Summer of Smith by going to see Clerks 3. And we're going to see all of our favorite friends. And you guys have come so far in the last 5-6 weeks. But I have some bad news.
What?
Snort's got surprises. Dan's got bad news.
Only one of you is going to be able to get an internship at the Smithsonian. And to determine who it's going to be, we're doing a little Kevin Smith trivia.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, might have got too high for this.
So, in addition to the Smithsonian Institute internship, you are also getting the grand prize, which is a standard definition DVD of Clerks.
Oh, heck yeah. Prizes in front of us the whole time.
And a marijuana-themed ashtray that I've slapped one of our stickers on.
Hell yeah.
I mean, this is better than any other trophy you could have purchased, so it's perfect.
Yeah, this is chef's kiss. And if you want stickers to put on your ashtrays just like us, send us a DM on Instagram at @thcinemapodcast.
All right, guys, but it's time for your Smith finals.
Oh, man.
I'm ready.
You feel like, how ready do you feel right now?
I mean, I don't feel confident that I could beat a lot of people, but I feel like I could maybe beat Silent John in this.
Dang.
Sorry.
I was going to compliment my counterpart in Snort, but fuck it. I'm about to crush you in this.
All right. Well, the test is 7 questions, and I've got a tiebreaker should something happen.
Okay.
And if neither of you get any of the questions, I could take everything.
If we don't get a single question, I think we'll at least get one.
Yeah, I don't have much confidence, but I'm 100% confident.
I don't know. You're talking to a Smithsonian tenure professor. I have some deep cuts in these questions.
Oh. Yeah, honestly, I'm nervous for whatever you got brewing.
Okay. Is it multiple choice? How are we answering these? Is it multiple choice? Are we buzzing in?
Okay, to buzz in, you say your name.
Okay, okay.
I didn't have time to rig up buzzers today, so yeah, just say your names to buzz it.
Okay, okay.
All right, are we ready to begin?
I am ready.
I'm nervous, but ready.
Okay. Kevin Smith conceptualized Clerks after working at the Quick Stop, which he never intended to do. What are the circumstances of Kevin Smith ending up working at the Quick Shop?
Snort.
Snort?
Did he drop out of community college?
Yes, he did.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I got nothing. Point for Snort.
Kevin Smith came back from film school. He dropped out of film school and was looking for a job at the video store, RST, and the owner kind of bamboozled him into taking a job working at the convenience store instead.
Okay, I remember the story now.
Yes, okay, that is the full story. That is, yeah.
Yeah, I'm giving you a full point, though, because you had an answer that was at least in the realm.
Yeah, no, I'm super impressed, because I was like, nope, don't know this one.
All right, question number two. We all know how many dicks Veronica sucked. Dante was number 37. Who is number 36? I'll take real name or nickname.
Snort.
Snort?
Was it Snowball?
It was Snowball. Willem Black, longtime Smith producer, Scott Mosier.
Dang.
Oh, okay, that was... he. Okay, okay, because I've seen him in the dog... Oh, and that's Snowball, okay.
Look, after you watched Yoga Hosers, I should not be surprised by this performance already. Yeah, I changed my mind. You're going to crush me, I think.
Question number three. The Hicks family of fictional characters is featured frequently in the Askewniverse. But Randall's family members are not. What's Randall's surname?
John.
John?
Graves?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, on the board, baby.
Snort two, John one.
Hey, I'm not going to goose egg. That's all that matters.
All right, question number four. Ben Affleck in Mallrats loved to screw recently broken up with women in a very uncomfortable place. What was multiple characters' response to this information about said uncomfortable place?
Oh, man. Oh, I don't remember. I remember there was a thing, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I'm so mad. This is Affleck. I should know this.
I forfeit.
Yeah, I got nothing.
What was it?
Unabashedly the worst and most uncomfortable place to screw anyone, the backseat of a Volkswagen.
Oh, dang it.
All right, score remains the same.
Okay.
That's okay. That's okay.
All right, question number five. Longtime Smith collaborator Matt Damon has played Loki how many times in his filmmaking career?
John.
John.
Is it four?
I'm sorry, that answer is incorrect. Snort.
Five.
I'm sorry, that answer is incorrect.
What are we missing?
Matt Damon has played Loki in Dogma.
Yes.
Jane Silent Bob Reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thor Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And four Jason Bourne movies, because canonically, the Jason Bourne character is Loki from the Askewniverse. Sorry, no points awarded.
There was never going to be points given out for that. What kind of answer is that? You dirty dog.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Yes. Question number six. Still 2-1. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Mother, motherfuck. Mother, motherfuck, fuck. Motherfuck, motherfuck, noich, noich, noich. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, noich, noich, noich. Smoking weed, smoking whiz, doing coke, drinking beers. Drinking beers, beers, beers. Rolling fatties, smoking blunts. Who smokes the blunts?
Sorry, I need a moment.
Who smokes the blunts?
We smoke the blunts.
Point to snort. Yeah.
The moment you went on that spiel, I knew she was going to get it.
That was amazing.
Yeah, I'm blown away
point
by that.
Point to Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, you get that point.
Well done.
All right. We're at our final question. I'm going to double the points on this one. This is a two-pointer.
It's the only chance
to give John a chance to catch up. And this question might be a John question, kind of.
We'll see.
Affleck was the bomb in Phantoms and kind of a dud in Batman. Who else in the Askewniverse has portrayed Batman?
John.
John.
Do I have to say, like... character name or like the actor?
Actor or character.
Val Kilmer?
Partial credit.
That's not what you had, is it?
Partial credit.
Fuck, who else is it?
The gentleman who played the security guard in Jane Silent Bob Strike Back and in Jane Silent Bob Reboot is an actor known as Diedrich Bader, who voices Batman in multiple cartoon iterations.
Huh. That's what I was thinking. So my head went, Michael Keaton's not in one of these movies.
Yeah, I started going down the list. Pattinson? No. Bale? No.
I mean, you got Damon. Clooney could have showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised he hasn't before. Okay. Well, no point.
Okay. Snort wins.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah!
Congratulations. I'll bow to you.
I am now a Smithsonian intern.
Well, Snort, you can be the intern. I'll just post up outside with my boys. Jay and Silent Bob.
No, I'd rather be out there with them, too.
Growing up from a time where these references were timeless, which empowered me to do the fuck, fuck, fuck rap and know it by heart, I'm very pleased with how far you guys have come in knowing these these little in-jokes that exist, and that makes me so much more excited for watching this with you guys tonight, because Clerks 3 is just going to be chock full of this stuff. We're going to get... I don't think we're going to get a lot of in-universe cameos, because that's not really Clerks' style.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're going to get a lot out of this movie, because it's going to be so meta, and it's going to be Kevin Smith's life.
Yeah, this to me seems like this is going to be like our finest iteration of Kevin Smith. He, you know, he's grown up a lot. He's done a lot of maturing. Clerks is, you know, his roots. And some people say Clerks 3, why? But after going through the Holisk universe and getting to this moment, like, whatever he puts out there, I think it's going to be some of his most heartfelt, passionate work he's done. And I didn't know if I was going to be this excited at the end of the road. And my goodness, like, this, like I said in the last episode, might just end up leapfrogging all the others and becoming favorite number one. I feel like I believe in Kevin Smith to do that now. Snort, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is probably going to be my favorite movie. Or maybe at least like tied with Clerks, because Clerks 1 is still like, I feel like, the best one to me. But yeah, I just think from the trailer and stuff, it looks like it's probably like the most personal movie. I'm excited. The Clerks characters are all kind of like my favorite. Like when it comes, I like them all, but deep down they're my favorite. So I'm excited to see all of them again. So I didn't really like realize this until like seeing stuff for the movie. I didn't put it together that Veronica's never showed up in Kevin Smith movies again after Clerks, but she's going to be in Clerks 3.
Yeah. We're going to get Veronica coming on back.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. And honestly, like you kind of talked about, Dan, like not as many like outside of Clerks verse like cameos. A movie like this doesn't need them, because I agree with you, Snort. These characters are probably the best characters in the Usk universe. They put on such a great show every single time we see them. And I want this to be about them and not really anybody else.
Yeah. And I like how they're mixing the Clerks 1 stuff with the Clerks 2 stuff, because we're also going to be getting Elias back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love Elias.
Can't wait for that. I'm not sure about Rosario. Is Rosario going to be...
I saw her doing promo for it.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Yeah, because at this point, Rosario Dawson, like, her and Dante would have been married, what, like 20 fucking years almost at this point?
Dang.
Holy shit. Yeah.
And now you got Veronica popping up back in the equation, potentially?
I feel like Dante and Rosario's character definitely got divorced a while ago. That's an early prediction.
Get some Dante with a kid who's also an adult, potentially working at the Quick Stop.
Dang.
I forgot all about that. Dang.
With Jay's kid?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
I forgot that he was going to be a dad.
Yeah, it's been 20-something years since the movie came out almost, so you're gonna get much similarly to Reboot, where you had this big expanse of time, and these characters have gone through so much since the last time you saw them, and you gotta get caught up on all of that. But it's nice, because it's a whole movie of like, oh, I wonder what happened after the end of the last movie. Oh, look, we have a whole movie to find out what happened after the end of the last movie.
Well, and I think, like, seeing it, like, the first part of it will be, like, shock of, like, oh, man, so much time has gone by. Like, everyone's older, this and that, you know. And then it's like, oh, look, this is where they're at. Like, I'm excited now, you know. Kind of like Reboot.
Yeah, Snort and I kind of lucked out since we, you know, have watched all these movies over, you know, the course of 5 or 6 weeks now. Like, we've got to watch almost a Kevin Smith movie every single week leading up to this. Like, Clerks 2 is still so fresh in my brain, whereas, Dan, you're referring to how old this movie is compared to, like, Clerks 1 and 2. Like, I just now I can't fathom having to wait this long for this movie like you're doing.
Yeah, you're like the time traveler who keeps popping in and out every couple of years, whereas I've been here the whole time just watching this all happen and transfold. And this was just, like, last week to you.
Yeah.
That is a whole nother layer of seeing this movie that I'm excited about, is that this is going to be the first Kevin Smith movie that we're seeing with you, the first time that you're seeing it also. So that's a good, exciting thing for me and John.
I've been seeing a lot of, like, just little snippet reviews.
Yeah.
And it's all bring your tissues, you're going to fucking cry your eyes out. It's everything's pointing towards Kevin Smith's best work.
I haven't been spoiled by anything, though. Have you guys?
No, I mean, aside from the knowing Kevin Smith's personal life, so you kind of know how the story goes. It's kind of like watching a Titanic movie. Yes, I know the boat sinks at the end, but I don't know what happened in between with the characters that don't.
Yeah.
It's all about the journey it takes to get there, you know? No, I haven't been spoiled, but like you saw, Dan, nothing but good things. The few reviews are all glowing and saying, yeah, like, this is heartfelt and this is great. Go see it in theaters. That's what we're going to do, guys.
Yep, in a room full of Kevin Smith fans. Well, I mean, it's a Thursday night, so, like, maybe two-thirds, one-third full of Kevin Smith fans.
I'm curious to see the turnout.
All right, guys. Well, that time is fast approaching because we need to get to the goddamn cinema.
Yeah.
Cinema or enema?
Definitely cinema. Because we're going to go watch Clerks 3.
Snoochie-poochies.
Snoogans.
God damn it. That's the other one I was going to say.
And now, our feature presentation.
Snort and John bought the tickets. I bought the snacks. And we're back. And we just watched Clerks 3.
Wow, we did.
What a heartfelt, emotional journey we went on, guys.
Well, we definitely went on a journey. Because the theater experience does need to be talked about.
What a fun and hilarious movie experience.
Going into a Clerks movie, you got to get to a kind of certain state before you walk in. So we did have a little bit of extra parking lot time to, you know, get them vapes in.
Well, our good friend Jeff Anderson told us to get high watching the movie, not just reviewing it. So we had to obey.
Yeah, they weren't playing it at the drive-in, so we had to smoke a little bit more beforehand to, like, preload. But when we walked in to give our tickets to the ticket man, without even showing him the tickets, he looked at us and went, Clerks 3? Yeah, I figured.
Well... Okay, trying to navigate to the ticket man. There's like a sign and all of these people. There's a whole like group, like church group, old people gathering. I don't know. It was madness. And then I went into the bathroom and it was even crazier in there.
Yeah, we had kind of like a Randall experience walking in. We had a Dogma experience happening to the left of us.
It was like we were in our own Kevin Smith movie.
We've got Chaz writing a movie that we need to stop. So we're planning a Jane Silent Bob sequel.
Everything is too meta.
Kevin Smith, what have you created?
You broke the Askewniverse.
And now it's spilling over into the TH Cinema universe.
It's a crossover event, for sure.
For the ages, you say? You know, I will say that I'm going to take the little movie ticket taker guy's little comment as a compliment. It felt real nice to be called out going to Clerks 3.
Yeah, it's like... You guys look like you enjoy good cinema, don't you? You must be here for Clerks 3.
Yeah, like, I'm glad it wasn't some, like, stupid movie or something that's out that he thought we were going to go see.
Yeah, I was wearing a suit. He could have mistaken me for seeing Minions.
Oh, no. Surely you wouldn't go see that, Dan.
I did, and don't call me Shirley.
Yeah, it's been far too long.
Okay, but weird theater side experience... We get into the movie theater, we sit down, and we get this beautiful, like, hey, kids, it's me, Kevin Smith.
That's pretty good.
And he gives us a nice little message about, you know, thanking the audience and like how things got to this point where he could, and just a very personal, heartfelt little message to start things off.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for stuff like this, like going into a movie. I love when they have like little things like this. And yeah, it was just very, very sweet. And at least it's the first time that I've heard him like confirm in that this was like the conclusion of it. So you're hit with that like right before it starts that, okay, yeah, this is the end.
Yeah, well, I think the end would have solidified the fact that this is the end, but we'll get to the end at the end of the episode. Yeah.
My thoughts exactly. Yeah, I'm honestly a pretty big fan of when directors intro their own movie. It kind of just makes it feel even more of like an event to me. And since we've been on the Summer of Smith comic, Kevin, it was just nice to, it's almost like a personal message to us. Like, guys, this is for you.
Yeah, I felt like it was for us.
Yeah, well, I really thought it was for us from the first opening note of the movie.
What an amazing song choice. My Chemical Romance. I don't know why, but I never would have expected that from Kevin Smith.
But you have to think it's the comic verse. That's how it's in there.
It makes total sense. And it's funny because on the way there, we were talking about how good of soundtracks that he makes for all of his movies. And then that's what he opens up with. It's like, damn it. Solidified it right there.
Yeah, when that opening note started playing, I looked straight over to Snort like, okay, Kevin has heard you. Last week, he was like, we need to change up the soundtrack.
Well, I feel like I was going to date myself a bit because I felt like that felt like a modern start to the movie. But now I'm realizing that song is kind of dated, but it feels still modern.
When did that song come out, Snort?
Oh, no.
Was it when the last Clerks movie came out?
Pretty sure I did. Yeah. Well, now there you go. Now we can, in a sense, live the experience that Dan has lived. The Clerks 3 is the one that dated us.
What, watching movies that make you feel old?
Well, that's just kind of been, you know, a topic in your journey in the Esk universe.
So now you guys understand how I felt all this time watching my guys. And you guys got a little bit also because you also got to see Dante turn into old Dante real fucking quick.
Man, I thought Jay looked old in Reboot. Woo! Dante's put on some years.
Old Dante and old Randall are still rocking at the convenience store. Mm-hmm. We do learn early on Rosario Dawson has since left us.
Big surprise there. Didn't expect that one.
Yeah, Snort, you were predicting fights with her character. Little did you know.
Well, I saw her in the promo stuff, so I just figured she was in the movie more.
And we also find out that Elias is still around.
Thankfully, he's still around.
But just like longtime collaborator Matt Damon, he's also very into crypto.
And still Jesus.
He's a little extra Jesus in this movie for only a brief little splint of time.
And Randall and Elias get into it a little bit. And Elias, in all of his Elias fashion, asks Jesus to strike down Randall as Randall's having a heart attack. So they rush Randall over to the hospital, and I fucking love me some Amy Sedaris anytime she fucking shows up. And her showing up in the Halloween costume. Okay, first off, this was all taking place during the day. What kind of fucking Halloween party was she at?
I mean, I don't know. I could go to a daytime Halloween party. You couldn't?
I could. I would. Yeah, okay. Withdrawn. But I loved her in her scenes and her interactions with Jeff.
I feel like she's one of the characters that we've seen be able to keep up with him and like his like quickness, like the best.
The bits about his little tiny penis and the way that she reacted with it and him telling her the Mandalorian while he's under anesthesia. Right. The entire movie had a lot of like, it felt like a Kevin Smith movie. And honestly, you know, they showed the picture of Rosario Dawson's, you know, the dates of her death and stuff on the register at the beginning. I thought the heart wasn't going to be there. Because even in those like heavy scenes with Randall having the heart attack and everything, it wasn't getting heavy. And I was just kind of like, oh no.
Yeah, I could see where you're coming from. I don't think I had those thoughts. But yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think especially when it comes to like the surgery scene, it was kind of nice to see somebody give it back to Randall when, you know, his life is on the line. So I felt emotional in those moments, but I don't think I had that worry. I don't know. Something about this movie just seemed like there was some grieving looming.
For me, it felt like the heart was going to be there, but it was going to be so peppered and fucking condimented with humor.
Yeah.
Because that's what it felt like at the beginning. It felt like he was trying to find it. Like Kevin Smith was trying to find the heart in the movie and the, you know, the...
Right.
While still seasoning everything with nostalgia and dick and fart jokes and Star Wars and all this other stuff. Like, I felt like maybe, like, you're not going to be able to land it. Like, because the last thing he did was Reboot. Which he could have made that a more heartful, emotional movie. He hasn't done something really, like, meaningful since Clerks 2 in 2006. Like, maybe he lost it.
Yeah, because the whole, like, heart attack scene, I feel like the only, like, sad emotional moment is, like, right before he goes back for surgery. Him and Dante have, like, that little moment. And that moment was, like, really nice. But then, yeah, the rest of it was just, like, comedy and stuff. But it didn't really bother me. I was long for it.
Because even that little sweet moment, that's bookended by Dr. Nurse Witch and tiny penis jokes.
With a little bit of Justin Long sprinkled in there. We can't forget about the Mr. Almost Surgery Fluffer, I guess.
But spoiler alert, he does land it later on. So we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say he lands it a couple times, honestly.
Yeah, so Randall makes it out of his heart attack, and he wants to make a fucking movie. He wants to make Clerks. And Dante, because your friend who just had a heart attack just asked you to do something, much like Kevin Smith asking his friends after he had a heart attack to do things for him, what are you going to do, say no?
Well, you kind of come off as an asshole if you say no, I think.
Especially after the doctor just told you, yeah, do whatever he wants to, basically.
Yeah, be there to prop your friend up. Support him with whatever he needs.
But during all of this, Elias has had a test of faith because he has smitten someone. And the transformation of Elias throughout this movie, I thought Everything Everywhere All at Once had some great costumes flipping around all over the place. But damn, where's their nomination?
And the makeup. Oh my God. There was, okay, I'm going to jump forward just a bit, but there was one scene where him and his silent friend, they had makeup drawn on that made them look like comic book characters, and it was fucking amazing.
They looked straight out of YouTube makeup tutorials as goth kids. And it was glorious.
God, I loved it.
Yeah, there was definitely some top-notch makeup work. And at one point, he comes in one of his wardrobe changes, and he just kind of looked like a satanic, like, Elton John, and I about lost it.
When he came out with the Frankenfurter eyes, I was fucking dying.
It's like it got more absurd as it went, but it also got more, like, vibrant and brilliant in such a dark metal way.
Well, you know, my favorite part about it is no one ever said anything really about it. Like, even whenever later on in the movie, when they're, like, in the ER again, everyone's...
Spoilers.
Everyone's, like, an asshole to Randall and stuff, and no one pays attention to the guy in full scary makeup.
No one pays attention to Gerard Way in the fucking hospital.
That scene in particular is amazing because, yeah, there's just a shot of just him with all the doctors running around, and he's just like, Randall, where are you going? Like, you're not going to kick that guy out too?
And with as much as Randall picks on Elias, yeah, especially, you know, in Clerks 2, like, fuck, nobody meant, like, they're just like, you know what, Elias? You do you, bro. Fucking get it, motherfucker.
Oh, man.
You hail Satan, buddy.
Oh, we love Elias again in this movie. It's so good.
Yeah, seeing him in Clerks 3 really makes me wish we would have got more of him throughout the Esk universe. Man, he is just fantastic.
Moving along, though, Dante and Randall go off to make their movie, and Randall enlists Dante as his producer, and he writes this whole movie about, essentially, it's Clerks, it's their life. And at this point, this is kind of at the, I'd say, like, the second act of the movie, and the majority of the second act of the movie is where you get a lot of the meta, because this is the parts where they essentially, you get the cameos of all the auditions, you get all the jokes about what jokes they're going to write in the movie, but you also get to see, finally, all the things that Kevin Smith has talked about, the anecdotes he talked about the making of his movies, the making of Clerks. For 30 years, he's been talking about how Jason Mewes was so shy to do the dancing scene that he literally made everybody else go inside and left the camera running for him to dance in front of. Or carrying the cat all day to keep it from pooping so it could poop in the box in the shot that they wanted to get. All those little things that they were doing were all actual things that happened that Kevin's been talking about for years.
Yeah, and I feel like one of the biggest moments with that is when we get our Silent Bob dialogue for the movie is explaining the black and white, how he needs to film in black and white.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite, maybe Silent Bob, like, kind of cracks throughout all of the Askewniverse, because it just feels like watching this movie that Clerks 3 was just like a, here's one for the fans, but here's all the heart that went into Clerks 1. I love that this was just essentially a rehash of Clerks 1 in a modern day environment. Would you call this a reboot, a remake?
I think it would qualify for its own term.
I would say an interpretation.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
Yeah, this is definitely a example of art imitating life.
But it's such like, it's, well, no, it's the most but Kevin Smith thing to do. But it's
also imitating art at the same time. Yeah. It's just an askew movie. It's full. Just stretchy and squirrely and
just full of meta-ness.
Everything's just askew. But on the meta-ness, we also get, during the auditions, we get so many fucking faces popping through. Just
rapid fire.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys probably know which one was my favorite.
Ben Affleck doing his natural accent for the first time ever.
I mean, I kind of want him to just talk like that 24/7. It is the perfect, like, Bostonian accent.
I feel like I saw, like, all of the best cameos in the trailers. I feel like all the other cameos, I don't know if it was just people, I didn't know who they were or what, but those ones did hit, so the whole cameo scene, I was like, well, okay. I saw the best ones already.
Yeah, this one felt like it was more Kevin Smith's friends than, like, oh, famous cameos. But, I mean, a lot of them were still famous.
Yeah, a lot of thank yous for being around. Even his mom pops up. You know what you need? An old lady cursing.
Bam.
Mrs. Smith.
I figured that was her.
She was also the milkmaid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I also like that how like Walt Flanagan was the egg guy in real life, but he's also the egg guy in the movie. How they cast their friends as the customers in the movie, but in this movie they cast the customers that were played by their friends in the movie, but not their friend. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't know what you mean at all. I'm so confused.
Yeah, when you put it that way, I watched the movie and I'm lost. But I kind of get what you're saying.
But everything kind of comes to a head because Dante is still dealing with the death of Rosario Dawson and their unborn child. So essentially after Clerks 2, shortly after, I guess there was a drunk driver that crashed into her car. And Dante's been managing this store with Randall for the last 18 years, just grieving. And I loved seeing Rosario Dawson with Brian. And that's where I started, like, okay, when Brian started welling up in the cemetery, that's when I was like, okay, this ride's getting started.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely like the, okay, this is how it's going to be emotional and stuff. And this is how she's in the movie. But you know, one thing that I really liked about her, like, well, I mean, it follows like her character from Clerks 2, but something that you never see really in movies that I really like that they did was that she basically, because she's like not romantic or whatever, told him to like kind of get over it because like they didn't really know each other that well and stuff. Man, you think that all the time in movies and stuff, you know, and nobody ever talks about it. And look at Kevin Smith out here talking about weird things that are in movies that everyone's thinking about. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, he really did kind of take that romantic movie trope and just flip it upside down and make it as realistic as I think possible.
Yeah, still like in a sweet way, but like, yeah, like you said, realistic.
Yeah, Rosario Dawson, she's just phenomenal in this. She was great in Clerks too. I think just the couple of scenes that she's in as Ghost Rosario Dawson, she's just a light. Her talking about her little sex history up in heaven with all the celebrities, because she's on the celebrity circuit now. Just very akin to Kevin Smith. Let's throw a little bit of dick and fart jokes in the big emotional moment where somebody's lying on the gravestone of his departed wife.
He made her after-death sex party she was living such an endearing moment somehow.
Well, and you know another thing about like her being in this movie, I feel like maybe touches on like how everyone likes being in Kevin Smith movies is because think she really does not need to be in this movie. She didn't have to. They could have just like killed her off and that was that. She's a busy lady.
Yeah, she's a real actress. I mean, you could tell just looking next to her and Brian, it's wow. They must have done something to make her look like she hadn't aged since 2006. And Brian aged 18 years. No, it's just because Rosario Dawson's an actual big actress. She's got that Paul Rudd blood. And all that emotion comes to a head when, while they're shooting the movie, Randall's going to go shoot the donkey show scene at the movies that Dante hasn't walked into since Rebecca died.
But before we get to the heavy right there, right before that, what about that epic dance scene with Jay and Silent Bob and the movie workers?
I absolutely loved it, but is this a weird thing for me to say? I really could have used Jay just opening up his little jacket with nothing on.
Little goodbye horses.
Just for old time's sake.
Just one more time, buddy. Yeah. Just gotta do it one more time.
I was a little let down, but damn, it was a fun scene.
If I was working at a fast food establishment at that age and a couple of dudes came up to me and said, hey, you want to smoke some joints outside? And nobody was around and we were closed almost. Yeah, sure.
I 100% thought that while I was watching that. If this happened while I worked at Pizza Hut in high school, hell yeah, I would have done that. I would have been the people out there.
Well, just see them walk around the corner of the building. They look like straight up badasses. I'd follow them anywhere. Hell yeah.
Complete main character energy from two side characters. But at the movies, Dante gets upset. He doesn't want to go through with it. He runs off. And Randall has to forego the donkey show shoot. And they go back to the Quick Stop to shoot there. And there's an interview with a high school reporter, whatever. And Dante comes back drunk, gets in a fight with Randall. And they start to recreate the scene of them getting into the initial fight in Clerks and seeing Dante lying on the cooler in that sweater, Salsa Shark. And then for that scene to go, and then after that, for the performance that Brian puts out in the yelling scene and how he compounds on what he did when he was a kid.
Yeah, there's a good chance that that is probably his best acting work of his whole career. In my opinion, that scene is the most emotional scene for me, at least. It's, you've grown up with these characters. They've been there from the start together. They're essentially ride or dies. And to see him kind of break that apart, kind of broke me apart a little bit.
Like you said, Dan, his performance was just probably one of the best, like, acting scenes I've seen in any Kevin Smith movies, maybe, you know? Yeah, very impressed.
And being able to see it in perfect inverse to see how far they've come, because it's the exact same thing you've seen that those two people do almost 30 years ago. And to see how much they've grown, not just how old they are, but how more emotional they can be on screen. It's beautiful. And then we get to the really heavy.
Aye, aye, aye.
Because in this scene, Dante has a heart attack. And we end up back to the hospital.
Okay, what was your first reaction when this happened, Dan? This was a big moment.
That's when I started crying. Unstoppably, until the credits hit, pretty much.
Yeah, there was this weird, like, looming feeling the second, you know, he hits the floor in the quick stop, and then you get that same shot of the ambulance backing up to the hospital. It kind of felt like it was the writing on the wall. Like, you're not going to get two people to survive a heart attack in this movie. And it was just like, how do I emotionally prepare for this moment?
And I did notice when that scene was transpiring that during the entire buildup of it, there was no score behind it. There was no rising music. There was no swelling. There was nothing to trigger anything. It was just Dante and Randall. And then it was just Randall. And it hit so fucking hard because there was nothing there to distract you.
Yeah, it was a very raw and real scene. It kind of put you, you know, in the room with them. Like, you're on the other side holding Dante's other hand. It fucking sucked, guys.
And at the hospital, Randall, in true Randall fashion, it's not a big deal. Dante's going to pull through. I just had a heart attack. What's he bitching about? And Eliza's like, no, dude, like, you need to prepare yourself. And then he sees Dante being wheeled by, much like Dante saw him being wheeled by. And that's when Jeff loses it and just breaks down and figures out what he needs to do.
Yeah, and I feel like in that scene, Elias kind of calls out Randall, like, for acting like an asshole, you know? And I feel like that's the first time that Randall's actually listened to someone telling him that he's an asshole. He's heard it all the time, and he takes it as a compliment. But that moment with Elias, I feel like it's the first time that he actually, like, self-reflects some, which was needed.
Yeah, it was a good character building moment for him. And like you were saying, Dan, it builds to the movie he truly wants to make in the movie he presents to Dante.
And the movie he presents to Dante, and just a perfect, like Kevin Smith, just the perfect way to do that is to sit Dante in the hospital bed and Randall in front of the computer to watch Clerks. And you see that opening scene and that opening shot and young Brian. And that's when everything starts hitting. Because it's just a montage of Kevin, of his life, of Dante, of Randall, of everything.
That was definitely the moment that it hit for me. That I felt like this is how invested I have been in to these movies now, is that my eyes started watering, and because, yeah, you just, like, know, like, what's happening and stuff, and it's just, like, this feeling. You're just like, man, what a journey.
Yeah, it really is a whole damn journey, and you get that whole Clerks 1 montage that segues to Dante in the movie theater watching it on the big screen, and then Rosario Dawson comes back, and it's just, like, all their nice little scenes together built up to that one of them kind of walking off together. And, I mean, what a perfect way to write Dante off. It was just such a beautiful scene.
Yeah, and brilliant from Kevin Smith's side, because using the Clerks movie as the movie he was watching and then using the shots from Clerks 2 as flashbacks actual life while Rosario and Brian are sitting in the movie theater. And he's watched, essentially his life is flashing before his eyes on the screen.
Well, and I think what really hits with that scene too is, like, whenever it first shows him, like, in the movie theater and it's showing Clerks, I don't know why. I just have this feeling that Kevin Smith told him, hey, go sit in this movie theater. And he had no idea what was going to happen. And then Clerks just started showing, because it felt like that reel of, like, Brian as an person is watching his life, like, flash by also, that I feel like his acting was so good because it was so real for him too, you know?
Yeah, and like John said, at the end of all of this, he walks off in out the doors of the theater with Rosario Dawson, and it hurt a lot to watch. And I would put this on the level of Tony Stark dying for me.
Wow. Okay.
That's a high ranking there. Whew.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Something that took, you know, obviously Marvel only built their monument to cinema in fucking 15 years or whatever, and Kevin's been doing this for 30, but Kevin did it in, like, with these characters, he did this in 3 movies.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it makes sense, because when you think about it, Dante does kind of look like Tony Stark. So I could see why.
If he wasn't a hideous fucking chud. No, we love you, Brian.
No, I definitely see with the time that you've put in with these characters and these movies, why this would be such a hit to you.
Yeah, for Snort and I to be emotional after, you know, a month or two, I mean, it does, it pales in comparison to 94 to now, you know, like you were in it for the long haul. And I'm just happy we got to share this cinema experience, this Askewniverse cap off point with you, Dan.
Yep, this is the last one for sure. It's all over.
But hey, there was still more in the movie after that.
Yeah. And after Dante walks off into the cinema doors, we get his funeral. And the eulogy that Jeff gives, very fitting. I was hoping for a little bit more, honestly. But it's a perfect cap for what it was.
I think I was hoping for more too, but I'm kind of glad that there wasn't, because then I feel like I would have got real emotional. But the last line just makes it all, like, I don't care what else you said, like, that was perfect.
Yeah, and the way that Randall breaks at the end of saying the line, oh, just what a good fucking actor he is, man.
And then, as is tradition, and then we get that final pull-away shot down the aisle of Randall, just there with Dante's ghost.
It just feels like the perfect way to end this, to get that the same ending of Clerks 1 with, I guess, one of the boys in the spiritual of the version panning out to who other than Kevin Smith's daughter, going through all what is presumably organic milk, I think.
No, it was oat milk.
Oat milk, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, if this was going to have to end, you know, I feel like this was the best way to do it. I feel like it was a really, really good way to cap off this. Look, Kevin Smith has a trilogy now. That's pretty cool. Like, this is a pretty cool way to end this universe.
Yeah, I feel like I'm more than satisfied to where if the talks of Clerks 4 ever happened, I would hope that we could just reject that instantly, because this was what it needed to be. This is exactly what it should have been.
Yeah, I will say that during the first act, when I was feeling a little unsteady about it, and during the second act, when it was all just very, very meta, I was a little worried that this was going to be the last Clerks movie. Like, I was a little disappointed that Clerks 2 wasn't going to be the last Clerks movie, because that ended so beautifully. But once you hit that third act, all of that worry and doubt is washed away, because there is no other perfect way to end this movie than the way that Kevin did.
Yeah, I think I shared the exact same thoughts as you, Dan. When this movie began, it was good, don't get me wrong, but going into it knowing that, yes, this is probably the end of it, I was like, what? It's kind of a slow start for something like this. But once you hit second and third act and you hit those emotional moments, I honestly kind of forget about how much I was like, meh, on the first part of it.
And then to cap it all off, if you stay towards the end of the movie after the credits and everything, Kevin gives a final, like, little anecdote about Clerks and about how he wasn't even supposed to be there that day. And it's beautiful. It's the perfect end.
It's a nice, genuine thank you pretty much to everybody, new and old. Doesn't matter. He was appreciative for us to be in that theater just as much as anybody else, and I'm happy we went to support him tonight, guys.
I feel like it was like a thank you to the people of Clerks also. Like, I feel like it was like a moment for them that they all needed, and then that all the fans needed too.
Yeah, I also think it was a pretty good PSA, because Kevin's fan base is getting a little bit older. And proper heart health and regular checkups are very important to people of our age at this point. And maybe we should do that more often.
You know, it's crazy you say that, Dan. I had that same feeling watching this movie. I was like, damn, I'm going to go get a checkup. Doesn't hurt, you know?
Look at that. Kevin Smith out there saving lives, potentially.
I hope we can run into him when we go see Clerks 3 with him, specifically, just so I can let him know that he saved my life.
Yeah, because this isn't going to be our last time that we're seeing this movie in a theater, because we are going to be going in November to go see this with Kevin Smith with a live Q&A after. Look out for the guys in the TH Cinema t-shirt.
Road trip.
Stop by and say hi. It might just be us.
And we will be doing an episode after that, just a special on the experience. But there's a lot of time between now and November.
Oh, yeah?
And some would say it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, man. I'm so excited.
Because it's motherfucking spooky season.
Spooky.
And to segue us out of the Summer of Smith, comma Kevin, and into spooky season, we are going to be watching Kevin's spooky movie.
Ooh, Spooky Smith.
We are going to be watching Red State, which is a horror movie where the villains are essentially the Westboro Baptist Church. It's so much fucking fun. It's so out of character for Kevin Smith. You guys will be amazed by what he can do when he's not being Kevin Smith for a minute.
Yeah, this will be a total blast going from the Summer of Smith to something outside of this skewniverse. Propelling us into spooky season. I mean, of course, I'm ready to see another Smith movie at this point.
I'm just going to be glad that my only out of a skewniverse movie is not going to be Yoga Hosers now.
You and me both. This will definitely balance out the Yoga Hosers. But that's going to be coming up next week, and then we're going to be continuing on with our spooky season programming with new spooky episodes all through spooky season. And if you want to follow along with us on spooky season,
give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TH Cinema Podcast. Make sure that you've given us a rating. Drop us a review. Tell us that you what you like about the show, what you don't like, or just what you like. That's cool.
And thanks for following along on the Summer of Smith, Comic Heaven. We occasionally do series here at the TH Cinema Podcast, so if there's a series you want us to tackle, let us know in the DMs. We might consider it.
Yep, and that's going to do it for the Summer of Smith, Comic Heaven, and this week's episode. So if you see three people sitting in a movie theater watching their lives play out on screen, but they're really, really high, come over and say hi. That might just be us. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for being here today.
Welcome, everybody, to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Dan, and with me, as always, is the silent. I had it. But she looked at me like I was pausing for dramatic effect and remembering.
Eckler's going to score on the next drive. Chargers go up big.
Give us your best commentary.
this commentary.
You have headphones on. Come on. And recording equipment.
Off balance on his back foot, loses the pass.
Now here we got Tommy Townsend. He's the punter. Look at the hair.
Look at the distance. That's a booter flying all the way back for a fair catch at the 8. And we're going to go to a... Oh, nope, we're not going to go to a commercial break. I was misinformed by the booth. We're going to be changing up with the offense of the Chargers on the field. 1st and 10. Set back. Rolling around. Oh, throws it away. Pressure. Good pass coverage right there. What do you think, John?
Yeah, typically when you get driven back into your own end zone, Dan, you want to get rid of the ball. You get sacked back there, and buddy, that's a safety.